Let me ask you, we have been looking over the last few weeks at Jesus at the Last Supper, and you know last week we talked about Judas going out. What Jesus said to him is, what you do quickly. So he's going out to betray Jesus. You know that in a little bit, Jesus will be betrayed, and then Peter will deny three times that he even knows Jesus. As a matter of fact, the text I want us to look at tonight will bring that out. Well, what is the difference? Have you ever stopped to consider what's the difference between Judas and Peter? And you might say, well, Judas betrayed Jesus, Peter denied Jesus. And you would be right. But what is the difference in that? I can honestly tell you that I don't know of a young man in all my years of growing up that to my knowledge was ever named Judas. Because Judas is a name that typically is associated with betrayal and shame. However, I grew up with several young men and know several who have the name Peter. And Peter is a name that they tend to wear proudly. So what's the difference between the two men? What makes the difference? Judas' betrayal was deliberate. It was calculated. It was cold. It was the result of planning and forethought because he had met with the chief priest. He had planned to do this. He had been paid to do this. It was something he intended to do. Peter, on the other hand, his betrayal was far from deliberate. He did not go out that night intending to deny Jesus, to say, I don't know the man. That was not his intentions. No. It happened in a moment of weakness. And just as there is a difference between Judas and Peter, there is also a difference, folks, in the sins that we commit. What I mean by that is that some sins are deliberately calculated. There are people that plan and think about what they're going to do, and those sins originate in a heart that's grown cold. In such cases, that person knows exactly what he or she is doing. On the other hand, there are some sins that are involuntary. Sometimes we find ourselves, as Paul would say to Timothy, caught in Satan's snare. They occur in a moment of weakness or passion. We either say or do something that we had not intended. And only, it seems like sometimes only after the sin has taken place, and maybe even been pointed out, do we realize what we've done. I didn't realize. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I apologize. So as you think about these things, I want you to take a closer look at something that happens here in verses 36 through 38 between Jesus and Peter. And as you think about what we're looking at there, and I'm going to share with you what he says there in John chapter 13. Jesus has just announced some things. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But listen to what Peter says to Jesus beginning in verse 36. Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus said, or answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. Now, let that kind of simmer in your mind for just a moment. And I want you to think about what was Peter's focus here. Because if you back up into verse 34, you find that Jesus had just given his disciples that were at the Last Supper with him a new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He tells them, this is the new commandment. And the fulfillment of that commandment would be seen in the way that they did treat one another and love one another. It would demonstrate that they were, in fact, Jesus' disciples. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Okay. But when it came to Peter, this new commandment seems to have gone in one ear and write out the other, because Peter doesn't speak about that new commandment. His focus is upon something else. It's upon something that Jesus said just a little before that. And what Jesus had said, we find in verse 33. It was the fact that he was only going to be with them a little while longer. Here's what he says, "Little children, I am with you a little while longer." And then the second thing that he said is that even though he was going to be with them just a little while longer, he said, "You will search for me." And he told them that they could not come to the place where he was. Here's the way he said, "You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." So this is where Peter's focus is. It's not on the new commandment. It's not on loving one another, even as Christ had loved them. It's none of that. It's not on proving to be his disciple. It is on Jesus had said, "I'm going away, and where I'm going, you cannot come." So this is where Peter comes back to. "Wait a minute, you said you're going away." And this first exchange, as we just noticed in verse 36, is first of all the question, where are you going? You say you're going away. Where? Where are you going? And Jesus' response is, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later." Well, that's a reference to the fact that eventually Peter himself would die for the cause of Christ. Tradition tells us that he was actually crucified upside down, did not consider himself worthy to be crucified in an upright position as his Lord had been. And then the second exchange between Peter and the Lord is this, "Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Tell me why I can't follow you. I'm willing to give my own life for you." And as I said, as we noticed, Jesus asked him, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times." Now, this is not in John's gospel. You have to actually go over to Luke's gospel, but it's at the same time. And I think, I can't prove this. I don't know if this was said because it's at the Last Supper. It's after the supper, after the new covenant has been initiated. So it's sometime in this time frame. I don't know if it's before the things that John records Jesus and Peter have just been a part of that encounter, or if it comes after that. I'd like to think maybe it come after that, because what Jesus says to him in, as Luke records it for us there in chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, is this, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith may not fail you, and you, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." You see, Jesus has just told him, before a rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And it would make sense that he would come back and say, matter of fact, Satan has even demanded to sift you like wheat. But I've been praying for you, Peter. And when you're strengthened, I want you to do the same for your brothers. What was it that Jesus knew about Peter that prompted him to speak in such an encouraging tone? He didn't do this with Judas. Judas, he said, "What you're going to do, do quickly. Go out. I know you're going to betray me. So go ahead and do what you're going to do." Doesn't do that with Peter. "I know you're going to deny me, Peter. There's really no hope for you. I'm just telling you before it happens that you're going to do this." No. He says, "I've been praying for you, because I know what Satan wants to do with you, but I've been praying for you. And I know that you're going to be strengthened even after all of this happens. Once you've turned again, I want you to strengthen your brothers, because I'm praying that your faith won't fail." What was it that Jesus knew about Peter? First of all, I think Jesus, and I know, no thinking about it, you and I know, that Jesus knew all of Peter's weaknesses. He knew every shortcoming that there was to know about Peter. You and I know Peter as an impulsive individual. Peter is one of those individuals that when you go back and read the New Testament, the Gospels, you find him as a person that is often quick to speak with his heart before his head ever really kicks into gear. For example, you remember when Jesus was walking on the water toward his disciples there on the Sea of Galilee? Matthew records it over in chapter 14 of his Gospel. And what does Peter do or ask to do when Jesus identifies himself. He says, do not be afraid, it is I. And Peter says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, Peter's heart kicked in, but his mind didn't stop to think, you know, I don't know if walking on the water is such a good idea. And then on another occasion on the Mount of Transfiguration, what does he do? Jesus, if you remember, taken up with him, Peter, James, and John. And there appeared with him on the mountain Moses and Elijah, and they were talking about his coming death. And the disciples at some point fell asleep, and then they woke up, and Peter is the one who speaks. He's the only one who is recorded as having said anything on the mountain that day. And what does he say? Lord, it's good for us to be here. And if you wish, I will make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Of course, God said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. So Peter was quick to say that. As a matter of fact, if you go to Luke's account of this, over in Luke chapter 9, there in verse 33, he even adds that Peter did not realize what he was saying. He just kind of opened his mouth and out it came. So Jesus knew his weaknesses. He knew not only Peter's strengths and the strength of his loyalty, but he also knew the weakness of his resolve. He knew that Peter would draw that sword in just a few hours and cut off the high priest's ear in an effort to try to defend him. But he also knew that not long after that, Peter would deny him three times. And you know, the interesting thing is that in spite of Peter's weaknesses, Jesus still loved him and cared for him and encouraged him. Here's something I want you to think about. Do you realize that our Lord knows all of our weaknesses? Nothing is hidden from his sight. He knows your impulsive nature. He knows about your temper. He knows about other things that you have a tendency to do. Maybe even the things that you haven't said you were sorry for. He knows it all. There's nothing hidden from his sight. And yet he still died for us. Something else that Jesus knew about Peter was this. He knew that Peter loved him. In spite of what he had done, Jesus knew that regardless of what Peter did, he still loved him. And even though Peter would deny Jesus, it wasn't with the intent to hurt Jesus. He never intended to do anything that would hurt Jesus. He wanted to die for him, remember? But in the process of denying him, he realized what he had done. He had fulfilled the very thing that Jesus said he was going to do. Have you ever thought that oftentimes it's the people who are closest to us who hurt us, who fail us, who wound us, and who disappoint us? Parents, how many times have you been hurt by something your children have done? Something they've said to you, something they have not done that they really should have done. And sometimes they did it just out of spite because they wanted to hurt you. But deep down, they loved you. Oftentimes, it's the people who are closest to us who hurt us the most deeply. And on such occasions, we would save ourselves a great deal of heartache if we could just learn to forgive. Because we also know that Satan is working behind the scenes in that person's life to do that for that very purpose. So my question for you on this one is, do you know that Jesus loves you? And Jesus knows that you love him. That is, if you do love him. Even when you fail him, even when you mess up, even when you feel like you have no right to go to him in prayer, he knows you still love him and that you want to do what's right and you want to live the life that pleases him. Which brings me to the third thing. Jesus knew what Peter would become. Wouldn't it be good? I don't know if it would be so good, because if you knew what some people would become, it might disappoint you. You might always never really look at that person the same way again. But Jesus knew what Peter would become. He knew that Peter was not going to be somebody that denied him, turned away, walked away from him, and never looked back. No. Jesus knew that even though Peter would deny him that night, that it wouldn't be long, actually in less than 2 months, Peter would stand before a crowd of thousands and he would tell them that they had crucified the one that God had made both Lord and Christ. He knew that not long after that, this same Peter would stand before the ruling body of the Jews, the Jewish leaders, who had demanded the crucifixion and the death of Jesus, and he would declare to those leaders, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And it was that same Peter who, along with John, after being warned or told by those Jewish leaders not to preach any more in the name of Jesus, would look at those men and would say to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you be the judge. For we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. Yes, it was this man who in just a few hours would deny ever knowing Jesus, who would go on to become a great leader of the church. Wouldn't it be good if we could look at our young people and even those down below us and think about what they have the potential to become and focus on that potential rather than the mistakes they make? None of us want to be reminded constantly of our mistakes, do we? But we do want somebody that believes in us and somebody that sees the good in us and somebody that encourages that good. Jesus knows what each one of us in this room have the potential to become. And that's what he wants to bring out in each one of us. What our potential is because of what God is doing in our lives. He is working out our salvation. He's working in us to fulfill his purpose. So my question for you on this one is, what does Jesus see you becoming? Can you see that in yourself? I hope so. Tonight I want to ask you a question. Are you a Peter? And what I mean by that is, are you a person who has good intentions, who wants to do the right thing, but oftentimes find yourself coming short? I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to be a better person than I am, but I just don't measure up. I fail myself more than I really want to admit. And do you love Jesus? Even though you know at times you hurt him and disappoint him, deep down, do you really love him? Does it bother you that you do things that you know he's not pleased with? If it does, know that he knows you know that, and he understands, and he wants to bring about your salvation if you're not a Christian. And then this, do you long to walk that path of righteousness? Is that something that you really want to do for the rest of your life and eventually arrive at your destination, which is eternal life with our Lord? Is that something you want? If you're a Christian and you're striving for those things, then I want to praise you, because you couldn't have chosen a better life to be a part of than the life of a Christian. I want to encourage you. I want you to know that God is working in you and through you to accomplish his purposes. If you will trust him and seek him and ask him to guide you, he will do that very thing. But if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I want you to know that the best that you can be is going to be found only in Christ. It's not found anywhere else. And he will work with you. He will first of all bring about the forgiveness of your sins, but he will also work with you to guide you on that heavenly journey. If you're not a Christian and you need to turn away from your sins tonight, which is what he calls us to do, to confess him as Lord and Savior, to be buried with him in baptism so he can wash away those sins, then that's what we want to encourage you to do tonight. And if you're a Christian and maybe you just need our prayers because you are struggling right now, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. But for whatever reason, if you need to respond to our Lord's invitation, won't you come right now and together